It was so cold during the night, he would suffer hypothermia. So hot during the day that your skin would burn to the edge of the container. The bugs that bite you felt like fire all over your body. But like driving a nail into wood, every hit, every beating, every blow to my body drew me closer to God. These are some of the notes I took when I had a chance to spend a few days with a lady called Helen Bahani. What you don't understand, or what you don't get when you first meet Helen, is her past. You see, Helen spent 2.5 years locked inside a metal shipping container for refusing to recant her faith. And not only that, she taught me one of the most profound spiritual lessons of my life. She taught me about thankfulness. If you were to wake up tomorrow with only the things you thank God for today, what would you have? In Helen's case, every day for 2.5 years, she woke up on the floor of a jagged metal shipping container inside a prison where she was beaten and tortured regularly. But one of the most incredible stories for me is her response to a beating that very nearly took her life. You see, Helen had been writing notes of encouragement and sending them to fellow prisoners, putting scriptures on them that she could memorize. And the guards came to her and they said, "Helen, where is your Bible?" And she said, "I don't have one." And they said, "Is it in your head?" And she said, "Yeah, it's in my head." And they said, "Well, we're going to have to beat it out of you." They proceeded to grab Helen and they dragged her to a courtyard, placed her in the middle, and started to beat her with wooden batons. What she does next has single-handedly changed my Christian walk forever. You see, in the middle of this beating, Helen stops and looks at the guy hitting her and says to him, "I do not hate you, for you were just carrying out an order. But you need to know that I'm carrying out an order too. And that's not to renounce Jesus. So carry on." Carry on? I mean, when they were finished beating her, they simply threw her body back into the metal shipping container. And as she lay on the floor in the container, she began to sing the following. "Thank you for the cold nights. Thank you for the hot days. Thank you for the hunger, for the sickness. Thank you for the bugs that bite my body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you." Thankfulness. Have you ever stopped for a minute to think about what role it plays in your life? I mean, what role thankfulness plays in your everyday? If you're like me, it's probably not much. You see, I ask God for a lot. But in comparison, I thank Him for very little. The more I think about people like Helen Bahani and the persecuted church, the more it begins to dawn on me that it's actually reversed. You see, they thank God for almost everything. And in comparison, they ask Him for very little. And this is because they're not following an institution called Christianity. They're following a living God. We're following a living God who walked the earth and who today walks the earth through His Spirit. Our gratitude, our thankfulness, and the level by which we measure it should not be based off a set of rules or expectations and buzzwords, I guess, created by this Christian pop culture. It should be defined by Jesus Christ, who walked with broken people, loved the unlovable, stood in the face of religion, led with a character and set of principles that He would not compromise for anyone or any deal. Didn't seem to care about things like brand, fashion label, return on investment, number of friends on Facebook or followers on Instagram. And didn't mind looking awkward if saying no meant the right outcome was achieved. And on top of all that, loved a dying and broken world with a passion that could not be filled, stopped, watered down or contained. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who ultimately laid down his life so that a sinful, broken, and dislocated group of people could have eternal life with him. And for that, I'm forever thankful. If you were to wake up tomorrow with only the things you thank God for today, what would you have?
I don't know how that clip impacted you, but when I first watched it, it sobered me. You would think that for all the years that I have experienced just tremendous blessings from the Lord in so many ways, that I wouldn't have to be reminded to be thankful. But I suspect that most of us can relate to a feeling that of soberness and just sort of in our face of how much we take the goodness of God for granted and how often we go through our days just lapping up the blessings. And how many times during that day do we stop to say thank you? We know that thankfulness is to be a part of our experience. In Psalms 100, it says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gate with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures for all generations." And that needs to be the posture of our lives. One of thankfulness, one of gratefulness. And so it just seemed to me again this morning that we need a reminder again to be thankful for the many, many blessings that we have and for the goodness of our God. Especially because we live in a culture that I believe more closely is spoken about in Romans 1, where it says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." And to live in a culture like that, we all share the risk of becoming conformed to that culture. And though we know God, does our day typify thankfulness and gratefulness and recognizing our Creator? This morning I thought my mind was drawn back to Luke chapter 17, the story of the 10 lepers. I know Jonathan alluded to it last Sunday. I'd like to develop it a little bit more this morning if you want to follow along. You're welcome to in Luke chapter 17. I'm going to be reading verses 11 through 19. It's a familiar story, but we want to think a little bit this morning of why might have only one returned. What may have been going on in the minds and hearts of the nine? And allow our daydreaming on that to maybe cause us to connect with some of the things that may impact us as well. Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Familiar scene, we've heard this story many times, of 10 lepers cry out to Jesus. He tells them to go and show themselves to the priest. That was according to the Old Testament law, that when they would be healed for leprosy, they had to go and get sort of certified by the priest. But in their going to the priest, they were made well, they were made whole. And so this morning, let's try to enter into the minds of what might have been going on with the 9 who didn't return to give thanks. And the first thing that came to my mind was sort of a preoccupation, possibly, with the blessing. I mean, they had just been made whole from leprosy. And I don't think that we can quite begin to understand the dynamic of having leprosy. I looked it up in to get a definition of the disease, and it says, the definition that I found, it's a mildly contagious disease that is characterized by ulcers of the skin, bone, and internal organs, leading to loss of sensation, paralyzation, gangrene, and deformation. It was a horrible disease. There was no cure for it. And because it was contagious, they had to live outside of the camp, away from family, away from friends, away from any kind of normal activity. And it was humiliating because anytime someone would come closer to them who wasn't aware that they were a leper, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean, so that the people would stay away from them. And how frustrating it must have been, because as they were out there in the camp, as the leprosy progressed, as you heard, it would take away their sensitivity, their sensation. And so they lost feelings in their extremities. I'm told this is the way it works. They lose their feeling in their extremities, and maybe you think that would be nice. You'd hit your finger with a hammer, you wouldn't feel it. But the problem is, if you got a cut in your finger, you wouldn't feel that either, and so you wouldn't care for it. And so what happened is, they didn't care for the wounds of their extremities, and they would become infected, and eventually they would fall off. They'd get infected and get gangrene, and they would fall off. And what typified a leper who had had leprosy for a long time is that they would be minus their fingers and toes and have just stumps at the end of their arms and legs. A horrible, horrible disease. And so I can understand how they would be focused on the blessing and probably preoccupied with, oh my goodness, we're healed. Now, I don't know if their fingers returned or not. It doesn't say they were restored. It says they were healed. But so we don't know that. But at least they could look at themselves and see the ulcers were gone. And all of a sudden, I could see them looking at each other and saying, can you believe this? We are healed. I can see them running into the city, just shouting, we're healed, we're healed. I can see him busting through the door of his house saying, children, Daddy is home. I'm healed. You know, I think for many of us, we too can get caught up in the blessings. Get caught up in all the good things, all the all the wonderful life experiences that we can have. And we too can forget about the blessor. And I think it's good for us to remember and to be reminded of all the things that we experience that are so wonderful. They all come from a giver of good gifts. So they may have been preoccupied with the blessing. They also may have forgotten their unworthiness. You know, it says there in verse 14 that as they went, they were cleansed. So they may have looked around and said, hey, this is what happens when you obey the Lord. You get blessed like this. And they may have seen it as a result of their obedience. I think sometimes that's one of the places that we get caught. We sort of feel like we deserve it because we're trying to walk faithfully. And so since we're trying to walk faithfully, well, God should bless us. They may have felt that it's about time they got a good break because they've been living out there in this camp, and they may have felt cheated. They may have felt that God has been unfair to them, and so it's about time something turned out better. They may have sort of taken Jesus for granted. They may have heard about his activities and thought, well, why wouldn't he heal us? I mean, we have a need, and he certainly has the ability to take care of that need, so he better do it. I think they may have forgotten their unworthiness. You know, I think sometimes we may fall into the same thing, to realize that of all the good things that we experience, we're not worthy of them. There's nothing we did or who we are that causes us to deserve all of the good things that we possess. Oh, you might say, well, I'm a good businessman. I looked ahead and I saw what some of... Without a mind that has been blessed by, that was blessed, that God has blessed you with, without the ability to discern, you would not have been able to do that. Everything that you are experiencing is from a place that you're not worthy. You know, God isn't obligated to do anything. Oh, to the believer, he has obligated himself to be our shepherd. And that means that he will walk with us through whatever we have to walk through. But we are nowhere promised to somehow, because we're a Christian, we're going to be rescued from the results of the curse. We're never promised that. He promises to be our shepherd. He'll care for us. He'll walk with us. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, he'll walk with us. And he has also promised that he won't allow any temptation to take us, but such as is common to man. And he will be faithful to provide a way of escape that we can bear it. So he has made some promises to us. But all the good things that we present, all the blessings, all the conveniences, he was not obligated to heal those 10 lepers. He chose to bless them independently of any obligation. And because of that, they needed to say thank you. Well, then the third thing that came to mind is maybe they didn't go back because they had failed to develop a thankful attitude in all situations. Now, I don't know what they had to be thankful for. Obviously, they still had food. I believe they had shelter. I believe there were many things that they could be thankful for in that leprous colony. But I think one of the reasons that we sometimes aren't as thankful as we wish we were is because we fail to develop an attitude of thanksgiving in all situations, because the Bible is clear, thankfulness is not restricted to pleasant blessings. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And if you were to look at the context of that verse, it's in the context of a number of other things that are admonitions for us to do that obviously we are expected to be able to do. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both to ourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and then in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. So obviously God is believing that we have the ability through His Spirit to be in everything to give thanks. Notice in everything, not just in the pleasant blessings. In Ephesians 5:20, it says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, the context of that verse is in verse 17. It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then it talks about not being drunk, and the next verse talks about speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, and then this one, giving thanks always for all things. And notice again what it says, always for all things. Now that's an attitude we need to develop because that doesn't come natural. We do not naturally give thanks for things that aren't pleasant, but the Bible is calling us to do that. Says for all things, and that can be confusing because are we saying we're to thank God for evil? Are we to thank God that there's a devil? And are we to thank God when we experience evil at the hand of other people? Well, that little word for has some various meanings. It used to be in the post offices. I don't know if they do this anymore or not. They used to have wanted signs up there, and it would say wanted for murder. Now that didn't mean this wasn't an advertisement for somebody to come and permit and commit murder. It wasn't saying wanted for you to come and commit the murder. It was wanted because of murder. And I believe that that's what this is saying here, is that we need to thank God because of all of the things that happen as a result of what we experience. You see, when we are experiencing things that aren't so pleasant are the times we experience God in a totally different way. There's also things that develop in our character that otherwise wouldn't be there. As I was preparing for this, I was reminded of probably one of the most trying times I ever had, and some of you would remember this, that we're part of New Covenant near the beginning, but back in 1990, I think it was, I made the front page of the Lancaster paper. I was the leading headline on the front page of the Lancaster paper. The headline read, Chaplain Burns Dogs, and I was arrested for cruelty to animals because the Humane League at Lancaster decided to use me as a test case against puppy mills. I had four mother dogs at that time, three of which had litters of puppies, and one was a Samoyed with long, white, fluffy hair, an Eskimo-type dog. And she had gotten a little close to one of the heat lamps that was in her heat box, and it had made a little yellow spot on her coat of hair. I mean, it didn't get close to her skin. You parted, it was just a little yellow. You parted the hair, and that was perfectly white down to her skin. She was not injured at all. But they came, they arrested me for cruelty to animals. They took our dogs, 23 of them, into the Humane League, began running up a bill of $10 per dog per day for its care, $230 a day. This became a big deal. 6 months later, we had a trial. And by that time, the bill was over $40,000. And in a matter of minutes, it was thrown out. In a matter of minutes, it was over. Now, is God asking me to thank God that they decided, is God asking me to be thankful that the Humane League decided to target me and the lies that they said at that time about the conditions of my dogs. Am I to be thankful for their evil? I don't think so. But there were a lot of things that I could look back on and be thankful for. I can be thankful for the protection that God gave me. I can be thankful for one of the leading criminal attorneys in Lancaster County, who I knew from my involvement in the prison, who volunteered to defend me for no charge because he had been on the Humane League board 4 years prior to that and was so frustrated with their mindset, he was just looking for a chance to punish them. I can be thankful for the fact that the district justice that heard our case here at Ephrata told me after the case was done, in a disgusted kind of way, he said, "I know what dog pens look like." He said, my uncle used to raise coon hounds. I know what a dog pen looks like." I didn't know any of those details going into it. God showed us as a family some wonderful aspects of who he was and who the body of Christ was. So I believe that God does expect us to be thankful in all things, for all things, for all the things that happen. Because you see, the all things that we experience give us many opportunities that otherwise we wouldn't have. So because we thank God. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Again, in everything, pray and be thankful. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever you do in word and deed, could that possibly include struggling with a budget, relating to a difficult person, processing our past, changing flats, facing surgery, fixing broken windows, burying loved ones? Could it possibly include all that? And I believe the answer is yes. So I think we see clearly from Scripture that thankfulness is not reserved for those pleasantries that we experience. So how do I develop a thankful attitude in all situations? How can I get my mind around that? Well, I think one of the keys is connect suffering with growth. Connect suffering with growth. You've heard the statement, no pain, no gain. And in James, we sort of sput at these verses, but they're here, they're biblical. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So I believe one of the ways we develop an attitude of thankfulness in all situations is to connect suffering with growth. And then secondly, to be committed to growth. And I think that's one of the dangers that those of us have that are living in a country like the United States, where we have so many pleasant things to enjoy. I know I've said this before, but it continues to have impact over me. Years ago, when Romania was communist and some of the first people came over from Romania with Christian Aid for Romania and were giving programs in the area, one of the points they made is that the Romanian church prays for the Christians in America that they can withstand the persecution of prosperity. And we don't usually think of prosperity as a persecution. But they saw it, I believe, as being even more damaging and more sly and sneaky and overpowering than the kind of persecution that they were experiencing. I think because we have it so easy, it's easy to become complacent and satisfied, even in our spiritual walk. Because we look back over our journey and we see that, wow, I've come a long way. There's a lot of things that I don't deal with anymore that I dealt with in the past. And we can begin to become satisfied. But the Bible says He's changing us from glory to glory. He's changing us. And He wants us to become more and more conformed to the image of Jesus. And so to be committed to growth. And then finally, to see thankfulness as an obedience issue. The verses that we just went over, there's no question. We are to be a thankful people. You know, our children, as we're teaching them what is proper, we have to over and over again say to them, now what do you say? When somebody gives them something, you know, what do you say? Because we're teaching them to be thankful because it doesn't just happen naturally. And so maybe this morning we need to hear the Lord say to us, now what do you say? And we need to look, are we caught up in the blessings? You know, in Deuteronomy, the children of Israel had this warning as they were coming into the promised land. And so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I believe this morning we need to again be recommitted to enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures for all generations. May we be reminded, and as we go through our days and weeks, may we more and more become a people that radiate thanksgiving. I would like to also mention, I think it's in the bulletin, but if you're visiting with us today, we do have a fellowship meal that follows soon after the dismissal of the service this morning, and you are very welcome to stay for that. We plan for visitors to stay for that. So after the dismissal, the line will form in the back hallway, and you'll come through, and the auditorium will be set up to eat. And so we invite you to stay and join us if you don't have to go somewhere else quickly after the service. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning for the reminders from Your Word for us to be thankful and grateful people. Recognizing, Lord, that as we exercise gratefulness, it causes us to be thinking about You and thinking about eternity and not being so caught up in our own stuff. Lord, I ask that You would bring these verses to mind at times when we are sort of absorbed in selfishness, materialism, and pride, and all the things that go along with our carnal nature. I pray that You would help us to remember our unworthiness. Help us to not be consumed by the blessing, but to be connected to the blessor. And to develop thankful attitudes in all situations. We invite You to do that work in our hearts. And Lord, we're thankful today for the ability to stay and enjoy food together. Thank You for providing the food for us that we could share it together. Pray Your blessing on those who did prepare it. And we ask Your blessing on the food itself, that as we take of this food, we can use it to Your glory. So we just bless You in the name of Jesus this morning. Amen.